Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today we're going to be talking about virtual doula support. So, what do you need to do to prepare for it? What about the technology? What can you practice ahead of time? Does this shift your partner's responsibilities? Do you just keep your laptop open the whole time? And how does it differ from regular doula support? Jackie Devereaux, mother of three, shares her experiences with receiving virtual doula support by choice and more. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Yoga Sleep, creators of white noise machines to help you and your baby fall asleep quickly and stay asleep since 1962. Go to yogasleep.com/birthful for 20% off a sound machine. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Ember Wave, the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. For $50 off your order, go to emberwave.com/birthful. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If what you hear is helpful, do make sure you subscribe. It's free, and that way you're not going to miss a thing. To support this podcast, please support its sponsors, which for this week are Yoga Sleep and the Ember Wave Bracelet. Now, I've got three short and important things to share with you guys. And the first one is that, as you know, I've been doing a few special episodes to help us navigate these times of pandemic. But I also miss doing the birth stories. So if you have given birth during these times of COVID and would like to share your story, please send me an email to info@birthful.com and let's get recording. So the second thing is that we've put together a resource page at birthful.com/COVID, where we'll be compiling resources created that we've created ourselves or created by the birth community at large. And the page is going to be constantly evolving with those resources. It is not a collection of information to read, but rather a collection of action-based resources. So, for example, there are handouts and forms to use with your providers, helpful videos, list of free classes and webinars on birth-related topics that are happening, birth support warm lines, big shout out to people in LA for putting that together, and a list of relevant petitions worth signing to help keep birth and postpartum support on the table for many communities. So many of these great resources have been landing in my inbox, and it just made sense to share far and wide. You can find them all at birthful.com/COVID. And if you have something that you would like us to add to this resource page, then email me the details at info@birthful.com. And the third thing is a shout out of last call for my Own Your Birth live online birth prep classes. Classes start next week, you guys, and they run for 3 weeks. So if you're looking to have a wonderfully flowing birth and want to learn how to fully support your physiology, you got to come join us. Fear and oxytocin are not really friends, and you need lots of free-flowing oxytocin to bring on those contractions to make your get your baby to be born, and also make pushing a whole lot easier by activating the fetal ejection reflex. With so much anxiety and fear right now, these physiology-supporting tools are really more important than ever. So let's get you birth ready, even within the challenges of COVID-19. Classes start next Thursday, April 16th, so go sign up at birthfulcourses.com. So yeah, those are my three announcements, and I will make links to all that info in the show notes as well. All right, my guest today is Jackie Devereaux, who contacted me wanting to share her experiences with having virtual doula support by choice rather than necessity, and how exciting and unusual is that, right? As you can imagine, I was super excited to hear all about it. As expectant parents and doulas everywhere are having to redefine what doula support looks like in these times of social distancing. And so to frame this conversation, I want to share what Jackie wrote to me. And she said, quote, "Of all the fears to have surrounding birth and this difficult time we're in, the choice between virtual support and physical support doesn't need to be fearful. It does take some patience, understanding, and communication, but you can receive the doula support you need virtually." End quote. So how about, yeah, super exciting. Let's get right to it. Welcome, Jackie. I am so glad that you are here on the show to share your experiences with virtual dual support.
Thank you. Yeah, I am also really excited about it.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you?
Yeah, so I guess in this context, I'm a mom of three. My oldest name is Sterling. He will be five tomorrow. He was my 2015 birth.
Oh, happy birthday.
thank you. Yeah, it's a little bit different this year, but we're excited nonetheless. Then I have an almost three-year-old. His name is Baker. He was my 2017 birth. And then I have an almost one-year-old. Her name is Evangeline, but we call her Lena. And she was my 2019 birth.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm talking to you, and this was super exciting to me, was because right now with this COVID thing that we've got going on, we're seeing birth support being limited, and most doulas are not allowed to go into the birthing room. And a lot of them, including myself, are providing virtual doula support, and which is something completely new for all of us and for a lot of our clients who weren't really thinking that's what they, you know, what they signed up for. But you yourself have experienced virtual doula support by choice. So tell us a little bit about, did you have... So Sterling in 2015, was that with your doula was physically present?
Yes. My first birth with my oldest Sterling, my doula Ursula from Birth You Desire, she's based out of the DC area. And at the time I lived there. So we had a more traditional, you know, in-person birth with her. I shortly moved out of the area after that. I moved to California. And so when it came to my 2017 birth and my 2019 birth, I didn't have any of the same providers that I had with my first birth. And Ursula and I originally worked together on it. And I asked her about it. And she said, well, you know, let's find somebody in your local community. We can do it together. We can find somebody that you pair up with. And so that was our first plan. But after about a week, I had been thinking about it. And I said to her, you know, you and I built this trust, and I trust you implicitly. I can't imagine birthing without you. You know, would you be willing to try being a virtual doula for us? Because for me, it was a lot more important about the relationship than it was about physically having, you know, a person there that was not her.
Mm-hmm. And so then for those, your two most recent births, that she provided virtual doula supports for you?
Yes. Yeah, so my 2017 birth was in a birth center, and she provided support over FaceTime. And that was the first time for both of us. And then my 2019 birth, she was a home birth, and we did virtual support over FaceTime as well. And we learned lessons on the first one that we kind of implemented for the second birth.
And that's what makes this conversation even greater, because it's just not explaining about virtual support by choice, but even tried and true tested virtual support where you went through it and then worked out the kinks. So tell me, how did you and Ursula, your doula, prepare differently for virtual doula support versus having live doula support?
Yeah, you know, in some ways, the process that you talk about birth is the same, except there's just some added conversations about logistics. And, you know, one of the things that we realized after our first birth is we didn't really have a stand for Ursula. We didn't really have, you know, we had thought that we would hang her something. We had a case where you could hang her, but then there was nothing really to hang her from. So in our first birth, you know, a few times she kind of got left behind. You know, nobody was in charge of moving her, or all of a sudden it was kind of, where's Ursula? And, you know, she's staring at the wall because we all had moved to a different spot in the room. So that was one thing that we learned and we really talked about, for the second time we did it was, really putting your partner in charge of moving her where she needs to be, either where the mom knows she needs to be or where the doula is asking to be in order to, try to assess something or see how far along, the mom is. So that was, having conversations about that and having conversations about, having your partner has to be more hands-on. And the doula has to be willing to direct the partner more because your partner becomes the doula's physical presence.
Right, and in terms of providing, support and like a counter pressure to the back, or doing a double hip squeeze, or she had to guide, basically connect with your husband and guide the process.
Yeah, and in that way, it was a benefit to our birth. My husband, by default had to be more engaged because he had to take direction and be her hands. And like you're saying, doing massaging or doing counter pressures on the hips. Or I need usually a handhold or so some of these little things that, previously in our hospital birth, the doula kind of took the primary role and my husband would be secondary when she needed a break. It had completely turned where my husband played a larger role in that. He played the primary role. And then, the midwives kind of played the backup for him. And so it was a little bit of role changing. But it was exciting for us for him to play that different role in our
And
second two births.
yeah, and I don't know if he's giving you feedback, has given you feedback and the difference for him, and he's not here to answer it. But how did he feel in terms of the difference of having to provide that physical connection guided by the doula versus what he experienced during that first birth where the doula was present? Do you know?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think he had some nerves around it. He kind of had to, he couldn't really take as much of a back seat. So initially, I think he was really nervous. But what's really great is because Ursula and we had talked about it ahead of time, she was really good at knowing that she had to direct him. And so her directions were really good. And I think that was important is in that moment, as a parent, you have so many emotions and fears and, excitement and everything's going on that it's easy to follow directions. And so if the doula is good at giving those directions and prepared to give those directions, I think it was easy for him to follow the directions. But if, we didn't have a doula and he was left to his own devices in that moment with all those emotions, I think it would have been very difficult for him to figure out what to do.
Yeah, which is really nice to hear because that's part, one of the things that it, having a doula, virtual or not, provides that really great support for the partner. And I have tons of partners that are like the biggest doula advocates because there's that help and support and guiding, and building confidence and normalizing the situation. So it makes sense that that can be provided either way. But I really appreciate how not having the physical fallback on the doula meant that he had to step in more and then be more present for you. Because at the end of the day, it's just, you two are the ones that are going to take this baby home. So it's not, yeah, I appreciate that. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to hear more about the tech stuff and what you guys chose for a platform and how that went. We'll be right back. White noise is a natural approach to better sleep and relaxation. It is soothing and mimics the shushes your baby heard in the womb, and it also helps mask random disruptive noises that would otherwise wake your baby. That's why I absolutely love using white noise as a positive sleep association and recommend the Yoga Sleep brand. Yoga Sleep's Whoosh multi-sound machine has 8 different white noise options and 8 relaxing melodies so that you can choose the perfect soothing option for you or your baby. I personally listen to the chimes for hours on end to keep me focused while working at my computer, but I would also switch to one of the white noise options if I were looking to fall asleep. The beauty of having lots of sound options is that you can try out what works best for you and your baby as your needs change. Yoga Sleep also makes a compact and portable sound machine that comes with a baby-safe clip so that you can attach it anywhere and it easily fits into your diaper bag. It comes with 3 soothing sounds so you can choose from bright white noise, deep white noise, or gentle surf. And you should check out yogasleep.com/birthful to see all the different options they have. At Yoga Sleep, they are the sound machine experts, as they have been making products for sleep for over 50 years. Yoga Sleep products are backed by a 101-night promise, meaning that you can try them risk-free, and they also make other quality sleep products like the highly rated yoga bed mattress and bedding accessories. So Yoga Sleep can be a one-stop shop for all your sleep-related needs. Go to yogasleep.com/birthful to save an exclusive 20% off a sound machine for natural sleep for the whole family. That's yogasleep.com/birthful to get 20% off. yogasleep.com/birthful. And we are back talking with Jackie Devereaux about her birth experiences with virtual doula support. And so you mentioned that in terms of, like, there's some responsibility that the partner has to take for connecting more with the doula in terms of making sure they're in charge of moving the device that carries the doula so that the doula is not left behind. And also having a conversation and connecting with them in terms of receiving guidance for providing physical comfort measures and comfort touch, sort of being the doula's extended hands. Is there anything else that's important for the partner to make sure they talk about?
Yeah, I think it's important if you know, if you can visualize your birth and kind of know where you want the doula position. So for me, it was very important that I could see her at all times. And so actually for our second birth, one of the things we learned is we got a tripod that could shrink really small and could be, you know, I don't know, 5 feet tall, something like that. And so we had kind of adjustable heights. And he, like, what we learned from the first time we did it is, you know, instead of having her in a basket or relying on a countertop that's very fixed, is, you know, he knew, like, I need to see her at all times. And so I needed her, no matter what position we moved into, if we moved into another room, I needed her to be near my head, like, and near my face. And so he understood that that was one of his primary jobs as soon as we moved positions. And to me, that was huge because I would start panicking if I couldn't see her or I didn't know where she was. And to that extent, it was funny, my doula had muted herself because you have that option when you're doing things virtually, and she was at her house. She didn't want her dog or, you know, any background noise. But when we talked about it after the fact, I actually had said to her, I said, I think I would have preferred to be unmuted and hear background noise, because then I would have known constantly, you know, that you were still there and have that reassurance. Because when it was muted, I remember there was a few times where I had said, hey, Ursula, you know, are you still there? Are you still there? And, you know, and she'd unmute and she'd say, yep, still here. But yeah, so kind of those little things of, you know, would you prefer it to be muted or unmuted are good conversations to have initially, because it's easy to assume as a doula, like, oh, you know, they wouldn't want to hear the dog barking or I don't want to, you know, anything in the background. But it's just kind of those little nuances that, again, if you can really try to visualize your birth and think through some of these technological options that you have now, really think about a preference of, you know, would I want it muted or not? You know, would I want her near my head, or would I want her seeing the action from below. And some of that might change given the circumstances, but yeah.
Did it get distracting at all having to keep track of her?
The tripod made it really easy. I think when we didn't have the tripod, it became a little bit more of, well, where can we put her? Well, can we see her? Should I move so she can see me? So I think that with our first birth, there was a little bit more stress about it, although we just left her behind. If I'm in a contraction and, we moved to a stool and, it was understood. She wasn't offended, and it was understood that that kind of came second. But that's why I'm saying if you think through some of those logistics and have flexible options, different cases, or like I said, the tripod I know is really easy, but I know right now that might not be an easy thing to get, depending on when your birth is. But with the tripod, it really wasn't because it was just a matter of, just moving her around.
And I'm guessing
But
that
if you,
if you have the tripod and you have a lap a tablet where you can see her face more than just a small phone, you can even dress that tripod up so that it looks like, like it has a physical, like a person presence in the room, so it's still easier to move around.
it is funny you say that. We actually did that. I surprised her and I got one of her shirts for that she has for her company, and I dressed her up in with yoga pants and this t-shirt. And what's funny about it is it was kind of just a joke, and we were planning on, undressing her because we had stuffed it. It made the tripod a little bit more clunky. I think we actually she ended up staying in it. We just like we hadn't disassembled it for whatever reason by the time when we went into birth, and so she ended up that way, and it kind of was nice, like you're saying. And I should have mentioned we did use an iPad both
Okay.
times.
Yeah. Did you guys before the first time around, did you test this before the birth was happening? And if you didn't, would you recommend that? Did you do it for the second time around?
We did not test it, and I would recommend it. One of the things with the birth center is the Wi-Fi. I ended up birthing in the bathroom for a lot of it, and we didn't know that the Wi-Fi in the bathroom, because it's kind of a more closed off room, was going to be different than the main room. So we had some difficulties there. With our home birth, we actually did test it. And we got an extender for the upstairs of our house, a Wi-Fi extender, just so we wouldn't have any issues if I chose to go into the bathroom again, or if I went to a more remote place in our house. Our internet was always reliable, but we never relied on it in this way. And so we had just gotten, I don't know, I think it was like $80 on Amazon, this, Netgear extender. And we did test it, even just my husband and myself, FaceTime, and he left the house, and I kind of moved around every room in the house. So I think it'd be easier to test in a birth center as well. You're a little bit more controlled as to know what rooms would be available to you. I think a hospital is the hardest setting to kind of do a pre-test with it.
Well, yeah, and right now you can't just go for a tour because they're
Right.
not
Good
accepting
point.
visitors. But I'm guessing, like, my experience with Wi-Fis in hospitals is that they're pretty good, but it might be a good idea to have a backup if the Wi-Fi is not working. Like, maybe be able to set your phone on as a hotspot or something. I don't know, some way of having a backup so that then all things aren't go out the window.
Yeah, I think with most things like birth, it's always great to have the A, B, and C plan.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree. I think a mobile hotspot, maybe for some reason, maybe it's less trafficked, you'd get a little bit more reception out of. And also just remembering, like, worst case scenario, like the landline. Hospitals usually still have landlines. You could at least get a very good audio connection that way. But with virtual support, it definitely is, if you have an in-person support, the questions are, about commute times and how far is a doula away from the hospital and is she physically at another birth? It's the same logistical questions, although right now you don't have to worry about commute time. And if she's at another birth, she might still be able to flip back and forth. But what you do need to think about is your B and C plan of if you don't have Wi-Fi. So it's less about I got stuck in traffic, the doula got stuck in traffic, and it's more about the internet's down. Or, so just thinking through, that what if. I think you can try to think about, like you're saying, the hotspot, or a landline or a Wi-Fi extender.
And you just mentioned a great point, which is what happens if you have several clients go, if the doula has several clients go in and labor at the same time, which is a conversation that we usually have. In terms of having backups and having different options when there's when it's a face-to-face physical support, what did you guys to figure out? What was that plan that you discussed in case she had another client go into labor at the same time?
I actually think this is one of the areas where virtual support gives you a little bit more flexibility than in person because, like I mentioned, there's no real commute times. And so it's similar in how, if I go into labor and I'm having physical support from a doula and somebody else is in labor, there are similar options still available, backup virtual doulas. But it actually happened with our first virtual doula birth, where when we went into labor, my doula was at another birth. And what was great about it is she picked up and she said, "Listen, I'm at this birth. I've been with this mom for over 20 hours in labor. She's about to go into a C-section. How are you doing?" And so I kind of described what was going on and sounded like early labor. And she said, "Okay, I'd really like to see this mom through the C-section. If not, I do have a backup available." She had a student doula there that the other mom was comfortable, swapping out. And she said, "But if you're okay, I'd like to see her through." And I said, "Right now I'm okay. Let's touch base. I'll tell you if I'm not. Let's touch base, when you're done." So she called me back, 45 minutes, an hour later, and said, "Okay, I finished a C-section. We have a healthy baby. I'm at the hospital. How are you doing?" I told her how I was doing. She kind of said, "All right, well, I'd really love to go home and set up at home. It would take me about 45 minutes. Do you think you can wait? We can talk on the phone while I drive. Or if you need my support now, I'll set up here at the hospital." And I said, "No, I think I can do it. Go ahead, travel home, and we'll connect when you get back at home." And so she got home, she got set up, we were both connected. And so for me, it's almost, if that was the other way around and you're at, if you needed physical support, there would be no option of at the end of the C-section, let me set up here at the hospital. It would be, it's going to take me, whatever, 45 minutes to get to your hospital or, whatever the circumstances may be. And so, it's kind of once they're done at a certain point with that other birth, they immediately can switch over. And I think that is actually a benefit to virtual support.
Well, and I think just having a conversation with your doula, regardless of where the support is happening, and having these conversations that are so unique to the circumstances and the timing that is happening right there is really part of it. You're always, it's a communication and making choices together, right? There's always options and you go back and forth. And I think that's the strength of a good doula client relationship that you understand that we're both humans. We're both have life that happens, and we're both trying to accommodate, things. I will provide as much as I can for you, but let me be honest with what's going on here in circumstances, and tell me how you feel about it.
Yeah, and I actually was just talking to a mom the other day about that as well. And that's exactly what I said is I said, my doula in particular that I had worked with, I said, she is incredible at understanding the circumstances for each mom and prioritizing and communicating that. And I agree with you. I think it's a great skill to have, and I think most doulas have it because you hone it and you're used to doing it already, is understanding the personalities of each mom, the level of attention each mom needs. And they already have that, at least a baseline of that understanding, with some of the prenatal meetings. And then I can't, speak enough to how much you guys have an understanding of subtle labor cues that as a parent, you don't realize how much your doula is tuning into sounds you're making or movements you're making. And that informs them as to, your labor progress. And so I found that my doula is just excellent at really knowing, at the time with that birth, she knew that I was in early labor. I didn't really know that at the time, but she was aware that it was most likely early labor and that she had time to finish a C-section birth and to, drive home. And so I take so much comfort in that and rely on her that if she's asking me, there's a good chance she has some feeling, some inclination that I can do it. I can wait. I can, and so having that trust and that relationship and that communication, I think, is key.
And you make a great point because very often when I'm conversing with clients in early labor or at some, whenever they call me on the phone, right? When we're trying to negotiate and trying to determine when do you want me over? Do you need me now? Not yet. I'll check in later. Like that whole, first stages of things happening. There is so much to be said for when by chance I get the partnered calls, I always want to hear her, hear the birthing person, just for a second, because I get so much information. And right there, I'm not physically with them, right? But I'm just tuning in to the sounds they're making, how chatty they are, or whether it's taking them, it is harder for them to speak, like all sorts of things that do cue you in terms of how quickly this will go or not. And there's sometimes when they're like, no, we're fine. We don't need you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna like jump into my car right now and start moving and just stay, just park in front of your house because I know that this is gonna, you're gonna meet me soon. So yeah, that's a great point. Which then in your case, you didn't find that, you found that your doula was able to still pick up on the nuances and provide what you needed, even though she wasn't physically in the space.
Oh, definitely. And I think what also is great about having a virtual understanding is with my second birth, my 2019 birth, I went into labor at 1 in the morning. Lucky for me, there's a 3 hour time difference. So it was 4 in the morning for her. So I kind of labored by myself for about an hour. And then I was like, 5 in the morning seems more reasonable. And so anyways, we initially FaceTimed, and what's great about it is I don't have to ask her to like get up, get dressed, get out of her house, come over and see me. I literally just FaceTimed her. She listened to me, watched me for a little bit, move around and have some contractions. And she said, okay, you seem like you're doing good. How's this? Like, let me get, I had a lot, I had a late night, I had a long birth last night. Let me try to get, 1 more hour of sleep. So if that's okay with you, I'm going to try to get an hour of sleep. I'll call you in an hour and we'll see where you're at. And again, I don't feel like I felt, it felt easy to me to reach out to her because I'm not asking her, like I said, to meet me at the hospital or whatever. But we got to take an hour pause. She got to be able to, replenish with another hour of sleep, knowing we were probably going into a long labor situation. And then she called me back, and we essentially were kind of continuous for, the rest of the birth, which I forget, I don't know, maybe was like another, 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours, somewhere in the multiple hours range. That she really just, stayed with me, but there's an ease. It seems less obtrusive
Yeah.
to the doula.
Well, absolutely. And it would probably, if you would have said, well, why don't you come over? It would have probably taken her about an hour to get out and get to you, which, because she didn't have to do that, she could just take that time to sleep and be more, coherent to be able to provide you what you need. I appreciate that.
Right. And I mean, it might seem silly. It's even little things like you're not worried about, oh, I've been in labor for 6 hours and nobody's eaten, right? I know that she can get up in her own house, go to her kitchen, fix herself a sandwich, and come back, you know? And so there's some really easy things. And for me, I'm a people pleaser, and so there's a relief to feeling like it is, less of an inconvenience, that it just makes me feel a little bit easy that she's in the comfort of her own home. She's still able to provide these services for me. And it seems like a mutually beneficial situation where we both have the comforts and supports that we need while still providing this essential service to each other.
You mentioned before a little bit about coordinating what happens in terms of that continuous support or when to contact her. I want to get into the details of what you guys worked out for that and questions that are good for people to ask in terms of that. But let's take a quick break first, and we'll be right back. If you've been thinking about getting an Ember Wave bracelet but aren't sure if it actually works, I can tell you that it does. It does for me. And actually, not just for me. On their website, they have hundreds of verified reviews from people that are using the Ember Wave bracelet for warming, for cooling, for help with sleep, stress, and even with hot flashes. As you know, pregnancy and postpartum are times of great and sudden temperature fluctuations. Temperature is so personal, and sometimes it might not be feasible for you to adjust the room temperature. That's where the Ember Wave bracelet can be a game changer. It lets you take your comfort into your own hands. Here's how it works. All you do is press the button to activate Ember Wave for a burst of heating or cooling. Similar to when you run your hands under cold water or cup them around a hot drink, the heating or cooling sensation created by the Ember Wave pairs with your body and mind to make you feel more comfortable in a matter of minutes. The Ember Wave has several settings, including a fall asleep mode that can help you maintain a comfortable temperature as you drift off to sleep. Ember Wave was invented by three MIT scientists and was named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2018. It really is an amazing bracelet. Seriously, you should go check it out. They even have a 30-day guarantee. To receive $50 off your order, head to emberwave.com/birthful. That's EmberWave. So emberwave.com/birthful to receive $50 off your order. And we are back talking with Jackie Devereaux about virtual doula support and her experiences. And one of the things, because I've had so many questions this week pop up from clients and from, listeners and other doulas, and we're discussing as we're trying to figure out this virtual doula support. One of the things that comes up is how some doulas are about providing the support more via phone and text, and it's more intermittent. And other ones are about being there continuously. And I guess some are about doing a mix. So, what worked for you guys? And when I say continuously, is, setting up the laptop and then you're there for however many hours, just sitting by like you would if you were there present. What was your experience?
From what I recollect, as we all know, you kind of forget parts of labor. From what I recollect is she definitely was there for whenever I needed her. I don't remember wishing she was there and she wasn't, except like I had mentioned before, kind of when she would get left behind and we'd scoot her over. So in my mind, I believe I had continuous support from her. Like I said, with my labor with Lena, I think I'm pretty sure it was continuous, at least from 6 a.m. to she was born just before 1. And I think it seems to be a little bit easier because even though I knew that she was continuously there and she was continuously connected to me, I do remember, seeing an empty chair sometimes. And so I'm sure, unbeknownst to me, she was answering other clients' texts or emails or, like, getting herself food or letting her dog out. I think it maybe, I mean, she could obviously talk better to this. I don't want to speak for her, but I could imagine that it makes it a little bit more flexible on her end as well, that she, although she was definitely always there when I needed her, she also could do some of these smaller things and these things on the side, without really disrupting what was going on with me. And as long as whenever I said, "Hey, Ursula, are you still there?" she'd say, "Oh, yep, still here. Just had to answer a quick text or something." All of this takes a little bit more understanding and patience. And there is a good part of that. And as long as the mom doesn't get offended of, "Well, where'd she go? She just left me," and the doula's communicating and the doula, has an understanding of, if I'm going to leave the screen and she can't see me anymore, I need to at least be audio connected so I can answer her if she wonders where I am, So I think we had what I felt was complete continuous support. And other than when she'd clearly communicate with me, like with my first, with the C-section or some of those other things, and like I said, maybe even more support in the sense that I felt like I could call her a little bit earlier, she could be there a little bit sooner.
And I think in my experience, whenever I say have to go to the bathroom during a birth and I, tell the partner or make, depending on what the birthing person is doing in terms of how deeply into the birth process and labor land they're in, right? If I don't want to distract them just for that, I'll just check in with the partner and say, like, "I'm just going to pop out for the bathroom. I'll be right back." Or if it's early on, I'll say, "Are you okay if I go to the bathroom?" I think same thing could be done. And if you're thinking, "I don't want to interrupt them, I just want to, but I need to go to the bathroom," you could even put a sign on your chair on, that says "bathroom" in case you glance back and it's like, "Where's the doula?" "Oh, bathroom."
That is a good point. And that also brings up too is, making sure your partner, has their telephone number. Because there's also, texting that can go on the side and having a conversation around that. Like I was very clear with my husband, you can text a doula, but you can't text anybody else. Because if I'm in labor and I look over and you're on your phone, I might lose it. And so having those sorts of questions of, I know, if I saw my husband texting while I was working so hard, letting him know that, like, those boundaries that you might have or those triggers that you might have in labor. But it actually brings up with this last birth, this home birth. My doula actually connected with my midwife and asked for her cell phone number. And they were kind of texting and communicating on the side, which, later I kind of found out they, it's just some of those conversations that in person, it would be easy to step out in the hallway. Just kind of empowering the doula and your midwife or your provider to maybe connect offline if there's something that they need to talk about. For me, my blood pressure was high for a bit, and they didn't want to alarm me by having this open dialogue about it. And so what I found out later is, they were kind of texting on the side of, "Oh, well, what are the exact levels?" And and just trying to troubleshoot what was going on with the birth. And so anyways, being aware of that and finding out if your doula is comfortable, giving out their cell phone or comfortable, texting the partner, which I would assume, but also, maybe even some of the providers, if the providers were also comfortable with that, it's another avenue just to fill in kind of a communication gap that might be a little bit easier to do in person.
And I have a couple of questions. One is, around all the things that you just said. One is, did you guys during the prenatals talk a bit about like how that support was going to be provided and when to contact her? And did your husband and Ursula connect in terms of, you know, make a game plan of, yes, I'll be on the iPad, but here's, you know, make sure you text me and let's have the two lines of communication going, or when to call? Was there a conversation around that?
There was not specific to, you know, the virtual support. I think it was the same conversation that we had about in-person support of, you know, basically we felt like I have this thing. I don't know, like, these rules I kind of made for myself of, like, to me, email seems the least obtrusive, that she can read at any time. Text seems like a little bit more, she could answer it later. And a call seems like, this is important, I think I'm in labor. So I don't know if I just made those rules up for myself, but if it was some question about, hey, do I need to get this for some postpartum product or something like that, I'd put it in an email. It's not time sensitive. If it's something that I was a little bit worried about, like, hey, I think I'm having Braxton Hicks, you know, do you have any ideas? Something that's not time sensitive, I'd text. But if it was something that I feel like I'm in active labor, I need your attention, your undivided attention, I'd do a voice call. And I think we always started with a voice call. And then again, with, I think she would hear me and we'd kind of say, you know, we'd try to decide, is this it? You know, between the two of us, does one or both of us think this is it? And if so, then it's kind of, all right, yeah, let me get out of bed. Let me, you know, get my setup, you know, to do FaceTime or Zoom or whatever you're going to do. And I'll call you back in 5 minutes or, you know, and so, I will say we usually did not immediately FaceTime, because particularly if it's in the middle of the night, you know, respecting your doula's privacy as well, that they might not want to wake up and immediately be on video.
Well, and that makes sense to me as well, because that's how the doula process starts with you, all client. Like, I ask them to call me as soon as they think they're in labor, but that doesn't mean that they need me right away. It's more of a check-in and a heads up until it gets to a point that it's like, okay, now we need you. And from there, it's continuous. So I think I would follow kind of the same rules for myself in terms of providing that service of when to be virtual. But of course, it would have some flexibility from client to client, depending on their own needs.
Yeah, I agree. I think that process is less impacted by the virtual nature or the physical nature. I think that process is probably pretty similar, no matter which services you're doing.
So then for the birth center birth, You were talking about how the home birth, that your doula and your midwife were texting and having that communication. When you have a doula, virtual doula set up in, say, more of a birth center in your case, or even a hospital situation, what would you recommend in terms of connecting and introducing the virtual doula to the other caregivers that are present, the rest of the team?
Yeah, I think particularly in a situation where you might not know who your provider is, you know, in a home birth or sometimes even a birth center, you know exactly who your midwife is going to be. But in a hospital, you very frequently do not know who your provider is going to be. And I think one of the biggest things as a client that's important is to introduce your doula to your providers, and for you to state how important it is for you, and to basically empower your doula to have a voice. Because, you know, in person, there's a lot more body language and ways that somebody can assert themselves that, you know, virtually you just can't do as well. And so I think from the client being both, you know, I'll just say if it's a hospital birth, both the hospital's client as well as the doula's client, if you're, you know, being assertive and saying, you know, this is my doula, given the circumstances, they are virtual, but I rely on them for advice, and I, you know, need for you to also, address any questions they might have, and to say, I need, that to be respected. I need for them to have a place and a presence in this room. I think it then makes it easier for the doula to be able to assert themselves and do their job. Because if it's an understanding from the whole team, if the importance of this person and this role is understood, then they have an easier time to say, hey, I'm here and I think we should suggest this. And with my birth center birth, I had the same midwife for my birth center birth and my home birth. And the birth center birth was the first time we all had worked together. And I was really impressed that Ursula was able to, she kind of asserted herself at one point. I was having really bad hip pain. And my husband and the midwife were trying to do counter pressure, but they were doing it for a long time and understandably getting tired. And so my doula had recommended this technique using a bed sheet, that you wrap it around the hips. And my husband pulled one end and the midwife pulled the other. And, the doula explained how, you basically use like 25% less energy so you can do it for longer. And it was amazing that she was able to talk both the partner and the midwife through this technique and this process. To which my midwife afterwards said, that was incredible. I have been doing this for 15 years and I've never thought of that technique. I've never seen that technique and I'll continue to use that technique for other births. It made it so much easier. And so to me, that's just a testament of how much even virtually doulas can still provide in the physical realm and still impart knowledge and techniques. And almost even more, probably in a more permanent way on the partner or the provider, because again, de facto, they have to be hands-on at the direction of the doula. And so I think part of what really enabled that situation to happen is I was clear with my midwife beforehand that, Ursula is a very important person in our birth plan. And I trust her implicitly. And I think, my midwife hearing that, or, any provider you might have, it puts context around, why, we might go to a little bit extra lengths to make room for an iPad or a laptop or find a table or move this person around. It's not just, and a friend that wanted to see your birth and may play less of a role, that just really making sure you communicate how important it is to you as a client and that, you really want them to be respected.
And I think that's really important. And also, even having a conversation ahead of time, like you did with your midwife, or if it's a nurse that you're just meeting for the first time, introducing your doula and introducing, both ways, and also asking them, are you okay if, she's not here to provide or counter pressure and do this, and my partner is doing this. Are you okay to if she guides you through some things, or maybe send images of positions that might be helpful in terms of what's going on during the labor? Because if labor is flowing, it's all great and it's flowing, and you just do your things. But sometimes when it's a little more like, maybe if we try this position or that position, that's when doulas have, because we can't do anything medical, have more of that information of creativity, of movement and positioning, and using those sheets to do a double hip squeeze without killing your back.
Yeah, and I think that actually could be one thing that could be helpful for the doula to share ahead of time with the birthing family is that, if you share kind of some of your techniques, or hey, just so you know, I have techniques on counter pressure, I have techniques on these things, then what you also can do is the mom or the partner can prompt at that time. I remember doing it with my last birth because I know, at that point I had worked with Ursula on three births, and I know what she can provide. I remember saying to her, "Ursula, I need you to tell the midwife where to move their hands. I need you, and because I knew she knew where I needed it. And, the midwife or even my, more so my partner, has less intuitive idea as to where to put them. But, and so if one of the parents are more aware of what they can provide, then you can kind of prompt the doula and say, "Hey, don't you have a technique for this?" And then again, also open that space up for the doula to have a voice and to be able to speak up.
Yeah, because I've found nurses to be very open to learning things because they know they can then use them later. Like they're not, in my experience, depends on the nurse, but in my experience, they're not about putting their egos first. At the end of the day, this is we're all trying to have the birthing person have the best possible experience. So if I can, do this, that's going to help the process move along, then yeah, I'll try that. As you were talking, I remembered. So, what about did your doula have you bring any specific things to the birth or a list of, accessories that she would need? Because usually I have some stuff in my doula bag, or I have a lot of stuff in my doula bag. I use very little of them, but it's packed because every so often it's like you just need that specific thing. But if it's virtual, those things aren't in the room. Did she give you a list, or did you guys talk about that ahead of time?
Yeah, we definitely had a conversation ahead of time about, and that's kind of what it came down to, was the question was kind of, what do you have in your bag that I might not have that maybe I should get? And so some of the things I remember getting were specific essential oils, and that actually came in handy when my blood pressure was high. We were able to use, and I forget exactly what one it was, but we used one to help, lower my blood pressure. And that was something that my doula talked the team through, said, "Hey, Jackie, were you able to get, that list of essential oils? All right, find whatever one it was." And then she said to the midwife, "Okay, Kiki, rub it on your hands, hold it to the underside of her feet. And, that's just what we'll do for, I forget, however long." I think like essential oils or some teas that, again, and your midwife or your OB or your provider might have some of these ideas too. But I know that they've made teas for me. I got teas and homeopathic remedies like arnica, but I think the conversation or the easy question to ask is, what do you have in your bag that you would normally take that you think that, that would be helpful for me to get ahead of time? And you basically just add it to your delivery birth bag, go bag that you probably were already making.
And and as you were thinking, I was like, what do I have? And I don't do essential oils or homeopathic teas or remedies. I have people get them ahead of time, but consult with their provider because I feel that's a little bit like medical realm. And so it's out of my doula scope. But I would, one of the things that I use so much and I think would be really helpful for the partner is even a yoga block. And I use that yoga block to sit on and to like that prop. Everywhere that yoga block really helpful. A gardener's pad just in case you need to kneel to protect the knees. And unscented massage oil would be another thing that I'm thinking out loud. But yeah, I love the idea of just asking, what do you have in your bag that I don't have and I would need? And I have a Rebozo lending library, so I give each of my clients a Rebozo. So maybe that's something I would mail ahead of time.
Yeah, and I mean, and that I agree. That's one thing that basically, as a doula, any of the tools that you are used to using, that like you're saying, it's like if you're on this virtual call and you're like, oh man, if they really had a yoga block, I could totally tell them how to use it right now, right? So even from the doula standpoint, knowing that when you're providing the services, if you have something that, you know, maybe that they might not have, you know, you're going to be frustrated because I would guess, you know, I would, you know.
Yeah. If only they had that.
You know,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so even, you know, for you to think through of like, okay, what do I consider, you know, are my essential tools that would be good for them to have. And I will say that's another thing is a TENS unit.
Mm-hmm.
I used a TENS unit for my second birth and that seemed helpful. I mean, it was my first out of hospital birth. So I don't know if it was helpful from that standpoint or even a virtual doula standpoint, but I felt like I had some level of control over my pain and managing my pain, you know, in an out of hospital birth setting. So anyway, as a TENS unit is kind of another thing that maybe you might bring, but, you know, you might want to recommend renting or
yeah, buying. Great idea. Did her fees change at all or wording in her contract change at all from an in-person support to a virtual support?
I don't remember the contract language being distinct one way or another. We paid our full fees. We paid the same fees as in person. And, you know, really when my partner and I had talked about it, even beforehand of just saying, you know, trying to decide if we needed a doula for our second birth in general or not, which was a quick decision. The answer was yes. But
resounding yes.
You know, but we had kind of talked about like, okay, well, we're doing this virtually, you know, do we want to ask for it to be discounted? And basically after the birth was said and done, both my husband and I, you know, both thought of no, we got the exact same services that we got, that we felt like we got in person. And I do know, I know the way, you know, and so for me, we kind of feel like there is no amount of money in the world that can like, we can pay doulas to show our appreciation for the services that they provide. So in that way, unless we felt like we had significantly compromised service, I, you know, there just wasn't really a question or a conversation for us around it. You know, it was just very much of she helped us through this birth in very similar, if not the same way she did with our initial birth. Yes, she should be compensated in the same way. I do know the way that, you know, my doula structures it is, you know, she also considers it kind of services rendered. You know, you can, you know, if you want full service with prenatal and postnatal, you know, meetings or, you know, birth related services. And I do know specifically to the current, you know, COVID coronavirus situation, she is providing, you know, emergency kind of last minute birth only services at a discounted rate, basically to try to support the community of, you know, no woman should have to birth alone. And, you know, if somebody for whatever reason, because of these laws or, you know, maybe their doula isn't equipped to take on virtual services, you know, being able to provide birth only services and having doulas on hand to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, agreed. And there's all, you know, we're talking about your experience was not under these circumstances of COVID. There's a lot to that relates, but then there's other context that needs to be brought in to what the person is experiencing. And I get that. So I considered, and I have reduced my fees for this time for virtual support just to provide that service to the community, but it wouldn't be something that I would necessarily do all the time, or if I continue providing virtual services in the future, just because I get that like everybody's under a different level of stress at the moment. Yeah. Were there some things you missed about not having your doula in person?
You know, it's funny. We've talked about some of the troubleshooting. There were some clunkiness, particularly the first time we had done it. You know, like I said, not having having some Wi-Fi connective issues, and then that you wouldn't have to deal with, and then also having the flexibility of moving her around and in different positions. You know, somebody has to move her. She doesn't have her own 2 feet to move. But really, what's interesting is, aside from some of those logistic things that we were able to kind of work the kinks out for the second time we did it, the biggest difference for me is not being able to like give her a hug when the baby was born, and not being able to, have her hold the baby. You know, it just has this kind of lingering, impact with me. And, my daughter will almost be one, and Ursula hasn't met her because we live on different sides of the country. And I know she will one day. But there's just a part of me that really loves that connection and that appreciation and that very special moment, after the baby's there, of like huddling together or laying on the bed together and, kind of hugging this new baby. And that's really the biggest difference and the biggest thing that I miss, is not being able to share that moment. And, we do the best we can. We bring the iPad over and, show her the baby, and, there, it's not completely devoid of that special moment. It's, but to me, that has been the biggest lasting difference for me of in person versus virtually.
Yeah, I could imagine missing that hug for sure. And I had a birth recently. I didn't, the birth part was face to face, but then the postpartum meeting we did virtually. And so I got to see this little baby afterwards. And it was through virtually, and it was like, oh, but it's not the same. But still, it's great to hear that in terms of how helpful she was to you, there was not really a big difference that you noted in terms of what you needed from a virtual to a physical face-to-face support. And which speaks a lot to how vitally important doulas are for emotional and informational support. And then they can guide other people in terms of the physical, but it's not like the calming presence, the reassuring for you and your partner. Like, there's so much levels to it that it's not about, having somebody to put some pressure on your back.
Yeah, and it's funny. In having a conversation with another mom, we were talking about this, and and this other mom was really smell dependent, and kind of, light sensitive. And so I actually had told her, she's using the same doula that I had used, and I said, our doula usually, she does essential oils, and frequently she smells like patchouli. And so I said to this other mom, I said, honestly, if you are smell dependent and you think that it would be helpful, put some patchouli on a stuffed animal and bring it with you. If you think that that would like give you this little extra essence of her being there. And so
Absolutely.
it seemed kind of silly, but it's like, it's similar to kids. If you're gonna go on a long trip and your kid's gonna be here, you might try to put your scent on a stuffy for them or something. And so anyways, that's kind of just something to kind of think about. And that gets back to this whole visualizing your birth and things. If you're light sensitive or sound sensitive, trying to think a little bit ahead of, again, talking to your doula, like, what would you do if the light was really harsh or if sounds are distracting? Oh, I usually put something on my phone, or and talking through again some of those tools or techniques that the doula might be able to do easier if they're in person, and seeing if there's something that as a parent you can add to your bag of tools to help you troubleshoot those things.
I love it. Jackie, is there anything else that you wanted to make sure? Anything that we forgot to talk about or any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, I think the last thing I probably would just want to say, just given the current climate, and I've talked to a few moms at this point, is there's a lot of fear happening that might not have been here a few weeks or months ago. And I think the biggest thing with virtual support and why it's so important to me to share my story of doing it by choice rather than necessity is not to be scared. There's a lot of other things that are going to contribute to your fear right now. And the differences between virtual support and in-person doula support doesn't have to be one of them, and doulas are amazing and willing to adapt their services right now and willing to, hone different skill sets. That's a conversation my doula and I have had is it's just honing a little bit different of a skill set, being more verbal than physical. And I think doulas, just by nature of who they are and the line of work they're in, are really good at being adaptive. And it takes a little bit more patience and understanding, but all in all, technology has made this an incredible option that is fairly easy to implement. And so I guess my biggest message is just not to be scared and not to have this fear be one of the fears you might be feeling. And I will, one other thing I did forget about is talking about specific platforms is, considering, FaceTime versus Skype versus Zoom meetings. One thing that was brought up recently is Zoom meetings you can record. And so I think that's just kind of an interesting thing that I totally would have opted to do, to just record the whole process and the whole birth from that vantage point and viewpoint.
That would be
But
so fabulous. There's some hospitals that don't allow you to record from pushing up until birth, so that might be a little bit to, something to navigate or figure out. But you could certainly, figure it out. But definitely having
true.
a recording of your birth and your labor, and those immediate postpartum moments, and you can hit the record button or not, pause or not. I am not recommending one either way. But
Yeah, good point.
yeah, to have that, how lovely. No, that's a great point. Thank you so very, very much for this fabulous episode. So many of my questions were answered, and I am excited to be providing virtual doula support.
Yeah, and I mean, and I also just want to offer too is if it would make them feel better to talk to somebody who's done it, feel free to reach out to Adriana and she can put you in contact with me if you would like to just ask any more questions. Again, I particularly given the situation right now, any type of fear reduction that I can help contribute to, I would love to. So.
Thank you so very much. It's been a delight. Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. Remember, you can learn how to support your own birth physiology to have a flowing labor and a wonderful birth from the comfort of your own home by registering for my Own Your Birth online birth preparation series. We're also going to be talking about how to put it all in context as you navigate this pandemic. Classes start next Thursday, April 16th, so join us by registering at birthfulcourses.com. And if you have given birth during these times of COVID and would like to share your story, email me at info@birthful.com and let's get recording. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the amazing Birthful patrons, and the wonderful people at Yoga Sleep and Ember. Go to yogasleep.com/birthful for an exclusive 20% off a sound machine. And for $50 off your Ember Wave bracelet, go to EMBRWAVE.com www.sbs.com/birthful. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin MacLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Here is what Jackie had for breakfast.
I had oatmeal with yogurt and blueberries and sunflower and pumpkin seeds.
I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2020 by Adriana Losada.